When you think of someone great, you can often think of presidents, right? Now, you may not like the president, you may not like past presidents, but they still had a lot of work to do to get to that office. To the president is something that has a lot of weight on, they have a lot of weight on their shoulders. Again, whether you like them or not, there's a lot of things that they do to keep us safe, and I would consider those men to be great men for the work that they do. The president is for sure a great man. If you were to look at the list of great people on this earth, I would say not because, you know, he's a great godly man, but the president has a huge responsibility, and that's to ensure the safety of all American people. I'd say that's a good thing. That's a great thing. I also think about great people that are athletes. You know, growing up, I called myself an athlete. I wasn't very good at it, but athletes are good. And I think about somebody who wins the gold medal in the Olympics. I think about somebody who is, you know, running around the track and they are the fastest man in the world. That is quite the feat to say. Or skiing down a mountain or whatever. You know, I see those gymnastics and these people are flipping and all the, I'll tell you what, those rings, you know those rings that these guys are hanging from and they have these big old muscles and it's like, it can't be that hard. Well, I tried it and I got like that high off the ground even trying to do it. It's really hard and you think about it, these people are the best in the world. Does anybody remember this guy? This guy's Michael Johnson. He was the guy with the gold shoes. This was probably like over 20 years ago, probably. I don't know. I can't remember how long ago it was. But he had gold shoes, and he was in the Olympics. And at that time, he was like one of the fastest men in the world. And I can remember watching the Olympics with the gold shoes. That was really did it for me. Look at those shoes. I mean, I was like, man, who wears gold shoes running around the track? But anyway, I was looking at this guy, and I was like, man, how great is it that he is so fast? And I thought to myself, he must have came out of the womb running, right? That's what I was thinking. He had to just be naturally fast. They did an interview with him probably 3 weeks ago, and this is what he said. He says, there's a strategy to sprinting you might not expect. Many people think that if you're good, it's just because you were born good, he says. But like any other sport, the more experience you gain, the better you get. Experience allows you to execute the race much closer to perfection, he says. He says, this is the experience what got me good, not because I was born this way. And I can remember looking at him going around this track, and I'm like, golly, this guy is fast. How did he get like that? And he says, it's not because he was born that way. It was because of the experience that he got. Then I think about Moses. Think about that first time that he came in contact with God, and God says, this is what I need you to do. And Moses didn't have any experience doing that. But over the years, Moses did get that experience. And hopefully today, we will learn from that. We will learn from what Moses did. We will learn, and maybe we can see ourselves standing where Moses once stood. Because Moses started out in a situation that he didn't want to be in. And before you know, he's leading all of God's people. What a wonderful thing that is. We'll talk about that. But before we get too deep into it, we have to understand about Moses. First, Moses gets into trouble. Let's go and look at this story, right? Moses gets into trouble. Let's read Exodus 2, 11 through 15. Exodus 2, 11 through 15. Now, it came about in those days when Moses was grown up that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors and saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw that there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. That was a bad thing. You don't hit Egyptians back in that time. He went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And he said to the offender, why are you striking your companion? But he said, who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you kill the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and said, surely the matter has become known. So he hit this Egyptian, hit him in the sand, and now Moses is like, man, I am in trouble because I have no business hitting this Egyptian. They're going to come after me. Verse 15 says, when Pharaoh heard of the matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. We'll stop right there for a second. So Moses gets into trouble. He hit this guy, and it was not good. It was one of those things where he knew if it was just a matter of time before Pharaoh caught up with him, and he probably was going to have his way with him. And so Moses says, I got to get out of here. And that's what he did. He fled. You can read there, and he says he went to the land of Midian. Now we're going to pick up in Exodus 3, verses 2 through 4. It says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight. Why the bush is not being burned up? When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. So Moses gets into trouble. He goes to settle in this land, and he's doing his thing. And next thing you know, he sees this burning bush. He looks at it. He's interested in this burning bush. He could have just said, you know, I'm going to walk away from this burning bush because that is something that's not normal for a bush to be burning. I know if I maybe would have saw a burning bush that and the bush is not burning, but it's on fire, I don't know if I would walk towards it, but Moses did. Moses walked towards this bush and God's speaking to him, and Moses says, here I am. Obviously, we need to have a conversation, and that's what we did. What God did was, once Moses got there, is he gave Moses a mission. Just like in the military, when a general gives a soldier a mission, he says, this is the mission and I need you to carry it out, Moses. It's got something for you to do. I need you to do it to the best of your ability. And that should have been it. Exodus 3:10, it says there, therefore come now and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Now Moses had to be scared because this is the same Pharaoh that was going to kill him probably. I know if I was going back there to face this guy that was going to kill me, I wouldn't be all eager to do it. I'd probably be standing there saying, man, like, I got to go, you know, back to this guy. If I was afraid enough to run, God, why would you send me back? But God said, I need you to go back. And he says, then I need you to tell Pharaoh, you got to let my people go. You're not going to be keeping them forever. It's time to let them go. And out of all the people in the world, God chose Moses. So you think that Moses would be standing there saying, all right, the Lord God has told me that I am going to go do this. I am courageous. Let's go get these people. But no, that's not what Moses said. Moses didn't say that at all. Moses had excuses. Moses, you think that, I mean, when we read about Moses and all the things that he did, especially like that last time there when he was, you know, preparing the children to go across and he wasn't going to go, and he had all these great things to say. You don't think about all that went into that Moses started out having excuses. Exodus 3:11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? Like, do you know who I am, God, for me to go do that? First of all, I was so afraid of this Pharaoh that I ran, and now you want me to go back to him? Who am I to go do this? Like, come on now, God. There has to be somebody better that you can send to this Pharaoh. Surely it can't be me. I'm just Moses. I fled. I'm here trying to have a good life with my wife. Why would you send me back? It's basically what Moses is saying. He gives a whole list of excuses, by the way. He doesn't just have one excuse. He gives a whole list. He first says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, O Lord, to go back and do this. Please don't send me. Why would you do that? Then he says, I've never been eloquent. Like, if I say stuff, it's going to sound bad. You know, like, if I open my mouth and try to talk to this Pharaoh, and this Pharaoh, you know, if you can imagine, this Pharaoh was not just like one of the boys. This Pharaoh, you know, had a certain speech about him. This Pharaoh was very, you know, distinguished, right? And so could you imagine Moses saying, look, I'm just a regular dude, and you want me to go talk to Pharaoh on your behalf? And the way I sound, that's kind of like having a Georgia accent going to talk to the president, right? I go talk to him, though. But still, the point remains, this is not something that Moses was ready to do, like, eagerly. Moses was like, I'm not the guy for it. Then he says, I'm slow in speech. God, like, it's going to take me forever to say it. If you give me one thing to say, it's going to take me a long time to say it. Why would you want me to go do this? Out of all the people, I'm not eloquent and I speak slow, then this is going to turn out bad. All of these things, he's going back to God and saying, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. So you think God say, you know what? Let me go find somebody else to do this because obviously you're not qualified to do it. No, that's not what happened. God didn't say that at all. God's anger is kindled, it says. That's what the scripture says. God's anger is kindled at Moses. Profound, isn't it? When you go back and look at this and you think about it, the anger of the Lord was kindled at Moses because Moses had all these excuses about what God told him to do. The anger of him was kindled. You can read about that, Exodus 4:14. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. Whew. I wouldn't want to be Moses in that moment. where I'm standing there giving all these excuses, and the last person that you want to have angry or the anger burns against you is God. That's one person or one being that I wouldn't want to be upset with me. I don't know about you. So God says, all right, Moses, I'll tell you what. You don't want to go. You've already kind of got me agitated at you. You've already, you know, if you go look up that anger kindle there, it gives the scriptures that Greek word there where the forehead is flaring, nostrils flaring, almost like God kind of took a deep breath at Moses and was kind of agitated. He says, you know what? You don't want to go. I'm going to give you some tools. I get it. I don't like it. But if you need the help, I'm going to give you some tools. And he says, I'm going to give you somebody that you know. He says, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. And moreover, behold, he's coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Let me tell you something. God gave him a tool. He says, you know what? I know you got slow. I get it. I mean, I told you to go do it. That should have been enough. But if you're going to do all this complaining, I got somebody for you. Exodus 4:16 says, moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and you will be, and he will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. So that's what happens. That's the story of Moses. Moses then goes on and does what Moses is supposed to do. This is not the same Moses that you read about in later chapters and later books that you read about right now. Just think about Moses right now. He's standing there saying, I'm afraid, I can't do these things, I don't have the best speech, I talk slow, and all these other things. And then you read about him later on, this is not the same Moses. I'll give you an example, Deuteronomy 33:1-29. We're not going to read all this, but I'll just give you a hint here of the blessing of Moses. It's called the last thing, one of the last great things that Moses said. And when you read through this, these passages here, these 29 verses, you'll see that Moses is not slow in speech anymore. Moses is not, you know, worried about how it's coming out anymore. Moses has transitioned from that person that he was back at the beginning of the Exodus all the way to now, where he lays out this 29 verse last blessing to the children of Israel. Moses has come a long way, hadn't he? He's come a long way because he had to carry out the mission that God gave him. Moses had to grow in his faith. Moses had a lot of growing to do, and so do we. If we say that we're going to be an evangelistic congregation, then that means that some of us, maybe all of us, are going to have to grow from where we are today versus where we need to be tomorrow. Amen? Every one of us, me included, this is not saying that Buck is standing up here and I got it figured out, because I don't. What I'm saying is every one of us is going to have to figure out where we stand today, and we're going to have to grow in our faith to get to the point that we can do what God needs us to do tomorrow. And we got to learn from Moses to do that. It's eerie, the similarities between what God told Moses to do and what we have to do. This whole, the parallels are just eerie. It's almost like two roads that are not the identical roads, but they're going to the same place. And that's what's happening with us. The similarities are absolutely eerie. Well, the first similarity that we'll talk about is we were in trouble too. Moses was in trouble because he hit this man and he was afraid for his life. Were we not in trouble? We absolutely were in trouble. Colossians 1:21 says, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, doing those kind of things, we were in spiritual trouble, weren't we? We were out there gallivanting around, not knowing who this God was, not knowing that we needed a salvation. We were out there doing all those things and we were in trouble. If nobody would have stepped in, we would have just been headed down this road. If Moses wouldn't have fled, he probably would have been in a bad place. But something happened. And something happened to us too. We were in trouble. That's a good thing. If indeed we're in Christ, it was past tense, we were in trouble. Now we're in a good place. Just like Moses was. We too had to be interested. You know, like I said with Moses in that burning bush, if I would have saw, and I want you to think about this, if you see a burning bush and the bush ain't on fire, like, I don't know if there was smoke coming from it, but could you imagine a bush there and it's on fire and it's not, like, being burned? Like, it's hard to even describe, isn't it? It's still intact, but it's burning. How is that possible? Now, you walking by that, and it's like, oh, there's a burning bush, but it's not burning. Are you going to go say, let me go take a look at that thing? No, you're going to be like, no, I need to back away and go the other way. And I say all that to say Moses was interested in that. And we had to be interested in God as well. We quote Acts 2, 37 and 38, but let's look at Acts 2 and 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? They asked the question. Nobody went to them and says, let me tell you something. You're going to be saved today. They had to show interest. All of us had to show interest in this God that we are pledging allegiance to, right? So nobody's making us do it. And just like Moses was interested in that bush, we had to be interested in our God in order for this to work. That's just the way that it is. Now, here's another interesting thing about the parallels to this passage. Moses had a mission. Moses had this great mission to go out and tell Pharaoh, let God's people go. There's no reason for you to have them anymore. God is fed up with it. He wants his people in a good place. He's not going to let you do this anymore, Pharaoh. And we too have a mission that God has given us. Mark 16 and 15, and he said to them, go in all the world and preach the gospel to all the creation. Matthew 28, there in the Great Commission there, it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. It says, we have a mission to do, brethren, a great mission that we have to get accomplished. Just like Moses, if Moses was standing there at this point saying, man, I can't do this. Like, there's no way I could go do this. We may be standing at that point too. Moses had a whole bunch of excuses. And let me tell you something, church. I've been a man that had a whole bunch of excuses. I look at Moses and I say, man, I can relate to that Moses. Because there was a time when I stood as a Christian and there were so many things that I needed to be doing. And I had so many excuses. Like, man, it was always something that would get in the way. Always something. I'm going to give you a couple of examples of how we got to push through that. We can't, again, just like Moses, there was no way Moses was going to complete the mission that God told him to do unless he growed. He had to grow. He had to mature. He had to get from one point to the other. He couldn't be the Moses that was going to lead God's people through all these things if he was going to be that same Moses that was standing there at the burning bush saying, God, why are you choosing me? Eventually, Moses had to move past that, and so shall we. It's so similar, the things that we have to go through. One of the first things that we say is that we're afraid. When it comes down to talking to the lost, when it comes down to saying something to somebody who's out there and their soul is completely just lost and in the dark, we say that we're afraid. You want to know how I know we say that? Because I have said it. When I have, came out of the water and I realized, hey, I need to go to speak to these people, one of the first things that crept up my spine was I was straight afraid. I'm looking at this person and I can remember my wife saying, baby, you are literally shaking. Because in my mind, I was like, I need to talk to this guy, but I'm afraid. I was like, why was I so afraid? Moses had God on his side. And we look at that like Moses had God on his side. I mean, he had the burning bush, he had all those things. I want us to think about us as well. We have God on our side as well, don't we? We have God on our side from start to finish. This is the Lord's will. We can prove what the Lord's will is in this Bible. And he said, this is what I want you to do. And he is not going to just let us go out there and just fail miserably all the time. If we try our best, I know some kind of way the Lord is going to help us in our journey. Then what do we pray to him for in the first place? If he wasn't going to help us in our journey, then why would we open our mouths and say, oh, Lord, help me in this? If that was the case, then we wouldn't be praying to him in the first place. So he has to be doing something to help us along the way. So if we believe that, then we need to be praying to him and believe that he can do exactly what he says he can do. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. We got to be strong and courageous. There's no other way around it. That feeling of fear that we have when it comes down to talking to the lost, I've had it. Now it's almost like Michael Johnson there when he was the Olympic runner. He says, experience got me to this point. My wife tells me all the time, you will find any way to talk to somebody about God. And that's true. But it wasn't like that years ago. I was afraid, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. My hand was literally shaking when I even thought about saying something to somebody about the Lord. Me and my son was just at Cold Stone, and there was two girls in there working. And before I walked out, I was talking to them about the Lord. Because after a while, it just becomes, remember, I didn't say this is Michael Johnson there, the Olympic runner. Let me tell you something. I'm gonna be honest with you. This may be a news flash. It's a whole lot harder to be a gold medalist in the Olympics than it is to open our mouths and say something about Christ Jesus. You know, an Olympic runner can run and do all these great things, and he can be fast, and he has a train and all that. But at the end of the day, he's going to get a medal. And what did Jesus say about all that stuff? It's going to pass away. That medal that he gets, it's going to be passed away. Just don't put your hope in that, Jesus says. But then, in contrast to what Jesus has allowed us to do, allowed us, what God has allowed us to do, if you think about that, allowed us in the fashion that he could have said, I'm only going to have select people to go spread this gospel. But he said, every one of you who bear my name can go spread this gospel. What a wonderful thing. And then that thing is eternal, lasts forever. We got to move past being afraid. You want to know how you move past being afraid? The first time is always the hardest. That first time is always the hardest. Just try it. Just open your mouth to somebody. It doesn't matter what you say. Just say something to them. Just ask them a question. Hey, where do you go to church? Are you a Christian? There's a whole bunch of questions you can just ask. Just try that first time. And I can guarantee you that second time won't be so difficult. Trust me, I know. Now, me, I had to almost make a fool of myself like 30 times. But eventually, I got it. And I was able to move past that fear. We got to move past the fear, church. Sometimes we can say we don't know enough. This is a big one. When it comes down to talking to folks about Christ, we can say we don't know enough. I'm going to bring you a picture of apples and oranges there. Or one apple and one orange or whatever. So we're thinking about in respects to preachers when we say we don't know enough, or elders when we say we don't know enough, or somebody who's been going to church forever or been a Christian forever, we say we don't know enough. Sure, when you're trying to go up against, you know, an elder or a preacher or somebody like that with biblical knowledge, you may know more. Chances are you might not. It really doesn't matter, as long as you're trying to do everything for the Father, right? But let me tell you something. This is something I had to figure out. When you're talking to the lost, you almost always know more about this Bible. If coming to worship was just, we do that from time to time, and I do it a couple times a year, then maybe you don't. But we're here every Sunday, every Wednesday, twice on Sunday, as a matter of fact. We're going over scriptures. We're in Bible class. We know all these things. Let me tell you something. When you open your mouth, you will know way more than what you thought you knew. And let me tell you something. It'll be folks out there looking at you, and you'll be talking, and you'll be saying stuff, and not even maybe quoting scriptures, but just knowing what this Bible says, and they'll be amazed at the knowledge that you have. We're a world apart from people that are lost. They're not thinking about God at all. They're not thinking about, you know, what must I do to be saved? But every Christian here should be able to at least say, you know, without quoting scripture, the things that I need to do to be saved. God gave us the truth, and he gave us the truth to use it. So we got to use it. We got to be able to pick it up and say something. And I'm telling you confidently, trust Brother Buck, you know more than what you think. So use that, be strong. And when it comes down to talking to folks, open your mouth. I can almost guarantee you that you'll know more than what you think you do. We're not the best to speak to others. Here's another one. Like, man, I'm not the guy. You know, I was down this road for a while too. It's like, man, who am I? Because I went out there and I said, I'm going to start talking to people. And I started talking to people, and then I came back and, like I said, made a fool of myself. And I kind of got down on myself, and I said, man, I'm not the guy to do this. But you know, one of the things that really just pushed me over the edge as far as getting me to that point, I started being genuine to these people and started genuinely caring about these people. And stop looking at them, and they were just some disgusting people out there who were just, you know, these filthy people who are lost. I started looking at them like, man, they have a soul. I'm sure glad somebody talked to me. So I want to talk to them and be compassionate and listen to them and be straight up genuine with them about my faith. That'll help a whole lot. You don't have to worry about quoting scriptures. You can just simply tell them, hey, I care about your soul. Christ Jesus told me I need to care about it. I care about your soul. That'll rock somebody's world if you say that to them. I know they look at you like you're crazy at first, but after a while, you know, it sinks in. You have to be genuine with people. Moses wasn't the best either at the beginning, was he? Moses was standing there with all these excuses. And then you look at Moses way later, and it's like, man, Moses has come a long way. I want to transition for a second. When you see the word command, it says, give an authoritative order, it says, like a gruff voice commanded us to enter. That's what the word command means. I say and you do, right? That's what that word means. I know. I was in the Navy. Chief came in the room and said, you do something. It was, hey, I need you to, and this was a true story, I need you to get all the dust off the floor with socks on your hands. I want all 80 of you to put socks on your hands and go around the floor and get all the dust up. And at first, well, like a quarter second, you look at him and say, is he crazy? And then it's like, oh, no, he said it, so we need to go get socks. And so we start doing it. That's what a command is. Somebody says something, you do it. So God commanded us, just like he commanded Moses, to do something, right? So God said, Moses, hey, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And he told us, and passages all over the New Testament, hey, I need you to go spread this gospel. And we see that with Moses, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses because he had all these excuses, right? We see that. And so we think about that, and we think about, well, God gave Moses some help, right? God gave Moses his great help. And so we think, well, did Moses have help? Yes. Do we have help? Absolutely. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 is a very important passage, and he gave some of his apostles and some of his prophets and some of his evangelists and some of his pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building of the body of Christ. That's what the scripture says. So Moses had help, gave him Aaron, and we have help. Now, let's back up a little bit. The anger of the Lord, I can't move away from that. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses because he had all the excuses. Then God gave him help. What do you suppose God would have did after he was already kind of a little aggravated at Moses, and then he gave Moses help with Aaron, and then Moses still said, I'm not going to do it, God. What do you think he would have done? No, and let's put this in sequential order here. He gave a command, said, hey, this is what you need to do, Moses. This is it. And then Moses said, I can't do it. I got all the excuses. I'm slow. I can't talk fast and all this stuff. All right, that happened. And then God got frustrated. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. We read it there. And then God says, all right, I'm going to give you help. He gave him help. Now we see that Moses just goes on and does what the Lord has said. But what if, we're talking about parallels here, what if Moses would have said, I understand you're giving me help, God, but I'm still not going to do it. And God was already angry in the first place. What do you think would have happened with Moses? Because God was the anger of the Lord was already kindled against Moses. It was already there. What do you think would have happened? You think God would have said, okay, Moses, let's do this dance. All right, I'll give you another offer. Here's offer number two. I don't think the Lord would have said that at all. I think there would have been a problem for Moses. I don't think Moses would have fared well in that situation. If God already gave him help, Moses already knew God was kind of, you know, angry with him. If he would have just turned that down, woo-hoo, that wouldn't have been good. You know, this is a stiff arm in football, right? A stiff arm is a bad thing. When somebody sticks out their arm like that, look at that guy there. His head is all, he's not even looking at the guy anymore. He's wondering what happened to me. I want to tell you about parallels. We saw this about Moses. We read this about Moses. We get it. God gave us help. Are we stiff-arming the help that God gave us when it comes down to executing this mission? Are we still forming it? Now, if any one of us have ever had this thought creeping our mind, I'm afraid. Yes, I was afraid. I've been there. I don't speak very well. I got that. A whole other list of excuses. Let's say those are the excuses. And we parallel this to Moses. Are we still forming the help? Are we almost telling God, you know, hey, I don't want your help. Have we went to teachers and preachers and elders and say, help me get past whatever my stumbling block is? Because if not, we're just stiff-arming the help. He gave us the help for building up the body, it says. That was the reason he gave it. Not just for him to be there. He gave us the help so we can use it. So we know that God doesn't like it when we don't do what he tells us to do because it's a command, and then we just stiff-arm the help. I don't think that's acceptable to God, church. That's my whole point. If we have excuses, I see where God deals with that and he gives us help. Well, we have our help. We can't go our whole lives saying, I can't do it anymore, because that's turning down the help. And remember, God's anger already kindled against Moses for not doing what he told him to do in the first place. So my message to you is, church, use the help that God gave us. We have people here who are mature in Christ. We have elders, we have deacons, we have teachers, we have preachers, we have all these people who are mature in Christ. And if you have an issue that's stopping you from going to talk to the lost, that you just can't seem to get over, use the help that God gave you, or we're just still forming them, and that's not going to turn out very well at all. We can surpass our expectations. Let's say that red car there was our expectation. We can get in that blue car and go around it. We can say, you know what? The person that I was yesterday, I'm not that person. See, I can identify with Moses because I was there. I was standing there afraid to death. And then Moses issued his last blessing, that those 29 verses. It's beautiful. How far did he come? I'm telling you, church, you can surpass your own expectations because God believes in you. He told us this is what needs to be done. And if he didn't believe us, he wouldn't have told us to do it in the first place. So we just got to go do it. We got to start putting all those things to the side, and we got to go do it. We have to be unrecognizable from the way that we were a little while ago. I want you, everybody here, to mark down this day. Everybody here, just mark down this day in your mind and say, this is the day that I heard a lesson about Moses being timid, being you know, not so sure of himself. And Moses made it. Moses did what God told him to do. I want you guys to mark down this day and say, this is my day. That I stood where Moses stood. And I can be on my journey just like Moses was. I can pick myself up and I can learn all the appropriate things I need to learn. Today I'm going to take advantage of the help that God gave us today. Church, I want to say to you is that you can do this. I have confidence in you. If my confidence isn't good enough, it should be. Because, you know, my confidence goes a long way, right? No, it doesn't. But God's confidence is another thing. Every one of us can do this. I dare you this week, just open your mouth and say something to somebody. Where you go to church at? When did you get saved? How did you get saved? Just start asking questions. Let me tell you something. Use the help that God gave you. If you're going into a restaurant or you're going into the store and you're like pumping yourself up, I'm going to do this. You need a little pep talk? Call me. I'll give you a pep talk. I say, brother or sister, you can do this. I know you can. Call one of the elders. Hey, man, I need a little pep talk. I'm getting ready to go in this store, and I really want to say something, but I am standing here shaking. Call them. I can guarantee you, I know these two men. They will pick up the phone and say, hey, you can do this. Go in there and ask a question about the Lord. You're going to come out better than you were before. You're going to be unrecognizable. Amen? I believe all of us can do it. I'll give you a picture of this mean, ferocious lion. This is my last slide. I know a lot of us may look at this lion and say, I don't recognize myself with that lion at all. I'm not a lion. I can't go out there and say these things to these people. I can't be courageous. You know, when a lion needs to do something, he just goes and does it. I've looked at the animal planet. There's a nice zebra running by, and that pride needs to eat. That lion just goes and does it. And that lion doesn't stop and be like, you know what, I wonder if this zebra's going to like it. Once I go hop on his back. He just knows it needs to be done. We have to be strong and courageous. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. He has not. You got to believe that God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, church, but of power and love and of a sound mind, it says. 2 Timothy 1:7. We don't have that. God didn't give us that spirit of fear, so where did it come from? I implore all of you, use the tools that God gave you. I want you to realize that there's so many opportunities out there. Now I look at myself just like Moses did, and I'm not saying that I've reached some point. That's not the point of my message. I'm just saying that I know I've made some progress. And I stood where Moses stood. Like I said, I want you to look at this day and say, today I stand where Moses stood, right there in Exodus 3. All of it, this is a fresh start. And if you're past that, good. Keep on progressing. Sell still more. My point to all of us is that we can do this. All we got to do is just open our mouths and trust God. Sometimes it ain't the fear. Sometimes it's the trust. Amen? If you're here today and you're a Christian and you want to get better at this and fear's been driving things and so on and so forth, we got to start being some people that are not afraid. It would make my day to lead a prayer for not only you if you came forward, but the whole congregation, that we can do this together. We can be strong and we can be courageous and we can go out there and fight these things that we need to do. So if you're a Christian today and you've been struggling in that and you've really been wanting to do it, come forth and ask for the prayers of the church. We're all family here. If you want to come forth, we can make it happen. We can say a prayer for you. If you're not a Christian, you're out there wandering around lost. You may not know they're too lost. You may not know you're in darkness. But believe me, this Bible has not lied and it's telling the truth. We want you to come home to Jesus. We want you to be there with him. Whatever your needs may be, come now as we stand together and sing.